Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back with another edition of NFL Rough Draft Podcast. This is Ray Mencio along with Michael Lushin. We're here to kind of follow up after our Tanner Carew interview, and we, you know, thought with the start of free agency and a lot of moving parts that the best thing to talk about today would probably be quarterbacks. A lot of big names kind of moving around, a lot that'll affect the top of the draft. So, excuse me, Mike, we'll kind of get right into it. You know, one of the key moves that was made, you know, the Cleveland Browns have made a lot of moves, but one of the key moves they made was trading their third round pick, 65 overall, to go get Tyrod Taylor. Does that mean they're not going to take one at number one now?
Well, they're clearly going to take quarterback at number one, right? And by the way, we're just going to move through all these QB needy teams to talk about how these free agent moves kind of affect their draft plans. So I thought that was a very interesting trade by the Browns. The reason for that is because they traded for Tyrod Taylor, who is essentially a bridge quarterback. And as you mentioned, they gave up a 65th overall pick in the draft. So basically a prospect with starting potential under contract at a reasonable cost for 4 years for 1 year of a bridge starter making, I believe, $16 million against the cap. So they're going to take a quarterback at one. And what the trade tells me, even though I didn't like it, is that they might be targeting a quarterback who's athletic. I don't think they would take Lamar Jackson at number one, obviously, but I think that they might be leaning toward Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield. The reason for that is because you're not going to build your offense around a bridge quarterback. You're going to build your offense around whichever quarterback prospect you're intending to draft. So reasonably, you would go out and acquire a bridge quarterback who fits that system as well. It wouldn't make any sense to tailor the offense around Tyrod Taylor and then mid-season or whenever the rookie is ready to drop, say, Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold into that offense. It just doesn't make sense. It would have made more sense to go sign Sam Bradford or A.J. McCarron. So I don't like that deal at all, but I'm thinking that it means that they're either targeting Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield at one overall, or potentially, and I think it's more of a long shot, they're looking at Lamar Jackson at number four because they know he'll be there. Ray, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that if they don't take a quarterback number one overall, and you know, everyone wants to talk about Saquon Barkley, but, you know, we really got to kind of take a deep look into, you know, exactly what you're just saying. We all know that Hugh Jackson wanted a veteran quarterback in there. So that is Tyrod Taylor. There was going to your point, you know, we knew this was going to happen. So I think they'll still take a quarterback. I think Josh Allen is an interesting target now at number one. I think it's an absolutely terrible pick if you take Josh Allen. But that's the Cleveland Browns anyway. So,
and just to quickly mention one more thing about the Browns, Ray, there's been this sort of talk in the media of, well, you don't take a quarterback at one, you wait till four, and then you take, you know, because one of those guys is still going to be there. And that really just doesn't make any sense at all. That's fantasy football mentality, and members of the media are trying to project that to the NFL, but that's not how real NFL executives think. The Browns are going to go and identify their target at quarterback, and that's the guy that they're going to draft. And they're not going to mess around and say that they're going to be happy with whoever falls to four. The only way they wait until four to draft a quarterback is if their number one target is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, wholeheartedly. And, you don't want to run the risk, especially with a team like the Bills, you know, stocking up draft picks and being very clear that they want to move into the top five. You know, do you really want to risk potentially, your number one and number two quarterbacks going off the board at 2 and 3, and all of a sudden you're left with your third choice of a quarterback, the most important position in all professional sports. If you don't do your homework and identify your number one player, your number one quarterback, then you're not doing your job, and they all should be fired.
Exactly.
Sashi Brown deserves some credit because he got them to this position where they had a ton of draft picks and a ton of cap space, and he got fired for it. So that was impatience by the Browns to get to a point of cleaning house. And it would have been interesting if they decided to keep Sashi Brown and got rid of Hugh Jackson, what this would look like. But we'll have to see.
I agree. So, Ray, let's move on. What do you think the Giants are going to do at 2?
You know, I don't know. I know it's not a popular opinion across, even draft pundits and Giants fans, that a lot of these mock drafts I've been seeing either has Barkley going to, or even, Quentin Nelson going to, because, Nelson can play tackle. You know, he is a phenomenal guard prospect, but he certainly can play tackle. But I really just don't know how you don't take a quarterback at 2. Eli Manning's career is winding down, point blank. He's 37 years old. He's had a good run. He's not going to play many more years. Unfortunately, he's not Tom Brady, and he's not going to play until he's 42, 43 years old. He's just not. And he's been on a decline. And we talk about all these other teams going out and getting bridge quarterbacks. The Giants have their bridge quarterback in Eli Manning. If they don't take Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, or Josh Rosen at number 2, then they've made a colossal mistake, and they'll be picking in the top 10 again next year and probably the year after that. I just think that this is a year that, this is very similar to, the Tim Couch year, where you had 6 quarterbacks go in the top 11 or 13. I don't remember off the top of my head. But you had a ton of quarterbacks in varying degrees of, opinions and scouting reports on all of them. And, Tim Couch, probably has a short end of the stick getting drafted by the Browns. But, you had Donovan McNabb and Dante Culpepper in there. You got to do your homework, and you got to figure out which quarterback is going to be the best overall quarterback for the next, hopefully 15 years. And the Giants have an opportunity to get their next quarterback. When it comes to quarterbacks, it can't be just about 2018. You have to start thinking about 2019, 20, 21, 22. And that's the only position I would tell you got to worry about that. Because quarterbacks don't grow on trees. This is a rare year where, Kirk Cousins, and people don't even like, we can get to the Vikings later if we have time, but Kirk Cousins is a very good quarterback. And there's a lot of people that don't like Kirk Cousins, that don't think he's a very good quarterback. And he's the best quarterback we've really seen on the market, in a long time. And maybe even, when Drew Brees and Peyton Manning hit the open market, it was partially because that they had serious injury concerns. And there was teams that were reluctant to say, is this guy going to be able to play even next year? Kirk Cousins is probably the best quarterback free agent we've seen in a long, long time. And there's still a lot of people that don't like him. What do you think the Giants are going to do it to? Or what do you think they should do it to?
So I completely agree with you. I don't have a lot to add to what you said because you basically summed up exactly my thoughts. But the two things I will add are that, there are Giant fans out there of the opinion that, if you take Saquon Barkley, you're going to be able to compete for a Super Bowl next year, and that's just not realistic. The team's got more needs than, running back. I mean, running back's actually in somewhat decent shape for them. I mean, obviously anybody could use Saquon Barkley, but he's not going to put them over the edge, into a Super Bowl contender. It's just not going to happen. Quentin Nelson, again, maybe the best player in the draft. You can't take a center or a guard 2 overall when you need a franchise quarterback. This is a very good quarterback class. You don't know what you're going to get next year. Drew Lock, Jared Stidham could be interesting, but we just don't know. And you don't know where the Giants are going to be picking next year, so they can't take that chance. The last thing I want to mention about them is, there are also fans who point to Davis Webb and say that he could be the future of the franchise. And my thoughts with that are, good, Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Still take a quarterback at 2 overall. And if Davis Webb develops into a franchise quarterback, then great. Now you've got 2 of them. You know, quarterbacks don't lose value if they're good. Okay, if they have 2 good players, they're going to have a good problem, and they'll be able to get something for them. You saw that with Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, this past trade deadline. Let's move on. 3 or 4,
yeah, just,
you know, you've got the
–
oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, back to your point, you know, back in 2007, after Matt Schaub had a good preseason and the Falcons didn't think they really had a spot for him, you know, they turned around and they traded Matt Schaub and they got a first and a third round pick for a guy – for Matt Schaub. You know, to your point, even if teams think they have a franchise quarterback, they'll give it a look.
Patriots got a high second round pick for Matt Castle from the Chiefs. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
There's lots of examples of that. Kevin Cobb is another example. So we're going to go a little bit out of order right here because, you know, I don't think there's anybody in the world who doesn't believe that the Buffalo Bills are going to be selecting either 3 or 4 by the time this thing's all said and done. And they just signed A.J. McCarron tonight. I love that deal. It's not really that I have that much belief in A.J. McCarron, but, you know, you bring him in, he's cheap, you give him a chance to be a bridge starter, he's got a small amount of potential, but realistically, you know, the Bills aren't messing around. They've made it clear through their actions that they're going to be trading up and drafting their future quarterback. Who do you like for them, Ray?
You know, the Bills were interesting because, to be perfectly honest with you, last year when they were kind of purging their team, I thought that they were, you know, making some mistakes. They're basically giving some guys away like Marcel Darius and whatnot. But, you know, they definitely want to make it, you know, put their own stamp on it. And I think Sean McDermott is a very, very good head coach. If the Bills, you know, it's hard to pinpoint exactly maybe who they like. I've heard Josh Allen to the Bills. But if you're going to leapfrog and you're going to go up to 3, you're probably going to have your choice of, you know, 3 quarterbacks. And if I'm the Bills, if, you know, just going back to our site, I posted my own personal top quarterbacks for the draft, the top 15 quarterbacks. My number one quarterback is Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield has a strong arm. He's accurate. Yes, there's things that he has to learn. Yes, there's things that he has to kind of corral, you know, with his – he is not 100% Johnny Manziel. If you compare him to Johnny Manziel, just don't even start the conversation because you don't know what you're talking about. I had the unfortunate opportunity of – we had the fortunate opportunity of meeting Johnny Manziel for a couple of minutes at the Walter Camp Foundation, and it's not a confidence, but it was an arrogance he had. And Baker Mayfield has a confidence, and he knows that he's a good quarterback, but he knows he has to work hard to continue to get better. So if the Browns and the Giants passed on Baker Mayfield, if the Browns and Giants passed on Baker Mayfield, if Darnold and Rosen, for example, go 1 and 2, the Bills need to take Baker Mayfield. They need to trade up, get Mayfield at 3 or 4, and make him their franchise quarterback, and they will be – essentially in contention to take over that division as soon as Tom Brady retires. Who do you think they should be targeting?
Well, I agree with a lot of that. You know, Baker Mayfield surprised me at the combine, finished 2nd in velocity at 60 miles an hour behind Josh Allen, who was at 62 miles an hour. You know, I thought he'd be a little bit lower than that. But I like him a lot. You know, I'll disagree slightly. I think that Baker Mayfield maybe is a little bit arrogant, or he comes off as a little bit arrogant, at least. But his issues are definitely a lot different than Johnny Manziel. I agree with you on that. I mean, Johnny Manziel had some issues where he was rolling up. There were pictures of him rolling up powdery white substances in, you know, the bathrooms of nightclubs. And, you know, that's certainly nothing like what Baker Mayfield's looking at. So I like him as well. I don't know who they're targeting. I've heard them connected to Josh Rosen, but you never know. Either way, you know that they're trading up, though, and they're going to take their franchise quarterback. A.J. McCarron certainly does not impact that at all. So let's move on to Denver, the Broncos. So they signed Case Keenum the other day. They gave him a pretty decent contract, and they traded away Trevor Siemian, you know, their starter for part of the last two seasons, to Minnesota tonight. So they also had their entire front office at Baker Mayfield's pro date. And, of course, you know, they coached the Senior Bowl and they requested to have Baker Mayfield placed on their team. So, Ray, what do you think the Broncos are going to do?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely a connection with Mayfield. Part of me thinks that John Elway, you know, who was kind of had a little bit of a rep for being an arrogant, confident athlete, definitely had that mentality. I think that he probably has a connection with Baker Mayfield in terms of he sees a little bit of himself in there. John Elway was a very athletic quarterback. Baker Mayfield's a very athletic quarterback. They both had strong arms. I have a feeling that Elway believes that he can mentor Baker Mayfield to be a leader. So that, I mean, I see that being a good fit. The problem is that I really believe that Baker Mayfield could be gone off the board by the time they pick. But I do think that they have a connection there. I could also see them taking, you know, we're getting to the point where this is Josh Allen territory. I don't think Lamar Jackson really fits kind of, you know, what they're looking for. So I really think if Baker Mayfield's there, he is the Denver Bronco.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, you know, Baker Mayfield does have a strong arm, but you want to talk about a strong arm like John Elway, Josh Allen certainly fits the bill there. And, you know, neither of us.
To your point, we've been sold a bill of goods about Josh Allen's arm being so strong and all this other stuff. Yet, I don't think his arm strength is going to be anything that puts him over the top. I mean, you just told us Baker Mayfield was 2 miles an hour lower on his velocity. You know, that's not that much at the end of the day.
I agree with you. I mean, I think it's more of like a baseline that scouts want to see these guys get to rather than, you know, whoever's got the most arm strength. So I'm just going to quickly move on to the Jets. So I am really against what the Jets did with their quarterback situation in free agency. Now, they came into the league year with the most money under the cap because the Browns made so many trades last year. I'm all for signing a bridge starter. And, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is a great option. I'm not against that at all because I think he's still got a little bit of a potential to be a starting quarterback in this league. If they decided to sign Josh McCown, bring him back for a year while they mentored a rookie quarterback, I'd have no issue with that either. But I don't really get what they're doing bringing both of these guys in. I get that they've got the cap room, but you don't want to have a game day inactive, healthy scratch every week making $5 to $10 million. It just seems like a poor usage of cap space to me. And, you know, the other side to that is you could say maybe that third string guy would be the rookie quarterback. But I think, you know, I'm not a Jets fan, but I'll speak for the Jets fans. I don't think they want to see their rookie quarterback being buried on the depth chart after what they've seen from Christian Hackenberg the last couple of years. So what are your thoughts on that, Ray?
Yeah, I think that – I almost think that it seems like the McCown deal was like a panic move. They didn't know what they were going to get for a quarterback, and they wanted to bring in somebody. Yeah, and they just offered him a one-year deal at $10 million. And it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out with I haven't seen – I don't know if you've seen how much was guaranteed of that money. I just saw it was 1 year, $10 million. But, you know, they're another one. They're in the same situation. You know, while Teddy Bridgewater isn't very old, I think Teddy Bridgewater is, you know, a giant question mark because of health, and they should – go out and they should probably be drafting a quarterback. And, you know, it might be the fifth guy on their list. It could be, you know, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold. We really don't know specifically at this point, but they need to take one of those quarterbacks. I, you know, kind of after seeing some of their moves, my first thought was they're bringing in Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater to compete for the starting job. The other's going to be the backup, and they're going to take the best player available on the board. You know, they've done a good job of building up their secondary, and they need some pass rushers. Do they pass on a quarterback and take Bradley Chubb there? If the top four quarterbacks are gone and they don't love Lamar Jackson, hypothetically, or Mason Rudolph, or if Josh Allen's left, if they don't love one of those guys, are they going to turn around and take the, you know, the a guy who's going to make a bigger impact in year one? I'm not saying it's the right move. It's just kind of intriguing to your point of your, do you really want a guy making $10 million, not even on the sidelines?
Yeah, I just can't see that being a smart idea for the Jets. I just think if you need a quarterback and you're picking in the top 10 or even the top 15 of this class, you have to take the mentality the Buffalo Bills have taken. And you have to just make sure you do whatever you do to go and get your guy. So, you know, I think if the Jets are worried they're not going to have their guy there at six, they need to trade up and not go with Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater. As optimistic as Jets fans want to be about Teddy Bridgewater, and I mentioned that I think he's got the potential to be a starter, you can't bank on that. It's a little bit of wishful thinking. So the Dolphins, I'm just going to quickly glaze over them. They sound they're very interested in moving up.
About the Jets, I have heard do like Lamar Jackson quite a bit. So they maybe are just sitting pretty at six, hoping that he falls to them. But sorry, go on with the Dolphins.
No, that makes perfect sense. You know, by the way, we've talked about this off air a lot. We don't think Lamar Jackson's a reach in the first 10 picks at all. I actually think in a weaker quarterback class, he's in contention to be, you know, the second or third pick in the draft overall. So the Dolphins, we've heard a lot about them moving up. They sure seem like they're going into full rebuild mode based off of what they've done these past couple days. Baker Mayfield is the name most often connected to them. They had dinner with him last night. So we'll be taking a look at them to move up. And, Ray, we've got about 7 minutes left here. So I'm just going to quickly move on to the next team that I want to talk about. And so remember, we already covered the Bills. So what do you think of the Arizona Cardinals? They've made a couple of moves at the position the past couple of days. What do you think they're going to do in the draft?
You know, I would say that I would bet – I'd bet money right now, especially the way that the draft is unfolding, that they do not take a quarterback in the first round. I think that they are kind of putting together a roster that can compete next year, maybe the year after. But it looks like they're making a big one-year push with signing Bradford to a one-year deal, making sure that Larry Fitzgerald comes back for another year. They got some money tied up in essentially players for just next year. And I think that they're going to make a big push to compete, and their guy they're going to get in the first round is not going to be a quarterback. I thought it was going to be a quarterback, but I don't think so now. I think that they'll look at day two and they'll look if Mason Rudolph falls to the second round, which I don't think he will, but I think that's a possibility. And then looking at Kyle Oletta from Richmond, Mike White from Western Kentucky, or Luke Falk from Washington State on day two to be the, you know, backup quarterback and, you know, maybe groom that guy to be the quarterback in, you know, 2020. But I really think in that first round, they're going to look at somebody who's going to make an immediate impact. They're not going to take a project. They're not going to take a guy that they think is high risk. The guy that they take in the first round of this draft will be somebody who's going to come in and make a big immediate impact. You know, that could be a good landing spot. That might be the last spot for Derwin James. Derwin James will not fall below them, especially after today's release of Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, after they signed Sam Bradford, I thought, okay, they could still take a quarterback here. When I saw Mike Glennon sign there, you know, you're not going to make a second move where you're spending substantial money on a quarterback if you're planning on drafting one. Well, I mean, I guess the Jets did, but I think that you're right about the Cardinals' plans. I think they're gearing up for one more run while they still got Larry Fitzgerald there, and I do not think they'll take a quarterback. I like the quarterbacks that you mentioned later in the draft. I think one of those guys could be an option even on day three. And so I think that's where we stand with them. The Baltimore Ravens, we've got a team where right now their starting skill position players are Joe Flacco, Alex Collins, Ryan Grant, and
John Brown.
Signed John Brown yesterday with Nick Boyle or Max Williams at tight end. They could go in a number of directions, but if they don't take a quarterback in the first round, they'll definitely draft another position on offense.
Yep. I agree with that. I think that's that is the bottom floor for Calvin Ridley there. I think that they should use their first three picks on offense. They need some more depth on the offensive line as well. Let me pose this question to you, because I know we have a couple minutes left. You know, we've touched on Mason Rudolph kind of being the outside guy. Where do you think Mason Rudolph goes, and where do you think the absolute highest he goes and the absolute lowest he goes?
Okay, well, I think this is going to be unpopular, but I think the highest he goes is top 10. You know, I mean, I think if he were healthy at the Senior Bowl, he would have impressed a lot of people. And I think the lowest he goes is probably the end of the second round. If you wanted to ask me where I think he's most likely to go, I think he probably goes somewhere mid to late first round. I see a lot of mock drafts that have him in the second round right now, but coming into this year, I actually had him, right there with Sam Darnold as a top quarterback prospect in the draft. So we covered a lot of the free agent moves and quarterback in this episode. We're going to have a lot more coverage about the draft prospects, quarterback and at different positions, just like we always do. Obviously, we're going to dive a lot deeper than just these top 15 picks. If you want to hear discussion about the top 15 picks, you could go just about anywhere, and we understand that. So we really want to, educate you and inform you about some of the lesser prospects, or not really lesser prospects, but prospects who are going to go on day two, day three in this draft. If you haven't caught it yet, Ray did a couple of really nice pieces on the site this week. He's got quarterback breakdown, and he gave NFL comparisons for all of them, and he also did that for running backs, which is a very strong class again this year, and we'll be talking a lot more about that. In addition to that, Ray's also got a brand new 7-round mock draft, just released it yesterday, and I mean, all of our mock drafts are 7 rounds. Right. So it was right before that. Right. Don't be too hard on him. It was right before all that news started to break. But that's because he's ambitious and he wants to do another one next week after free agency sort of died down a little bit. I'll be coming out with my new 7-round mock as well. So lots of great content to look forward to. We have a couple more interviews lined up as well. So, Ray, we've got about 30 seconds here. Do you have any parting thoughts before we call it a wrap?
I think this is I think that there's an interesting quarterback class that's going to unfold. We're going to get one quarterback on day three that's going to end up being a good NFL starter.
All right. I can get on board with that. Maybe we'll talk more about who that's going to be in a future episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.